And if you can have that Psalm 100 open, that would be really helpful as we come to God's word. The singer Elton John said that sorry was the hardest word, but I wonder whether he's quite correct there. I think another word that we find difficult to say is thank you. Thank you. One of the tortures after Christmas is getting our kids to write thank you letters. Some of you will have had that experience. I'm sure if you have children, you will find it much easier than ours. But writing thank you letters can be difficult. And so the whole issue of for saying thank you is something that we need to explore. And we're exploring that especially today as we come to thankfulness in prayer. Now, of course, some people are very good at giving thanks. And here's a thank you letter that I found quite funny. I hope you do too. I'll read it to you. You won't be able to see it on the board. This is a nine-year-old child. I think they're an American, but that's okay. We don't mind that. Dear Mr. Rannan, thank you for coming to our school and teaching us about the weather. Someday, when I become super ultra lord of the universe, I will not make you a slave. You will live in my 200-story castle where unicorn servants feed you donuts off their horns. I will personally make you a throne that is made of platinum and half gold and jewel encrusted. Thank you again for teaching us about meteorology. You're more awesome than a monkey wearing a tuxedo made out of bacon, riding a cyborg unicorn with a lightsaber for a horn on the top of a space shuttle, closing in on Mars while engulfed in flames. And in case you didn't know, that's pretty darn sweet. Sincerely, Flint. P.S. Look on back for drawing. Some people are good at giving thanks. Well, we want to look at what it means to give thanks as Christians today, and we're going to use just for a few moments look at this psalm, Psalm 100, and use that, I suppose, as a springboard for looking at thanks and thankfulness in the Bible. In many ways, we've already seen, haven't we, that thanks is something that we are called to do, and the application today is what it means to give thanks in our prayers. But really, thankfulness is not simply an act. Being thankful as a Christian is a state of mind. It's something that Christians just do. Christians give thanks. That is a characteristic of a Christian. And all over the Bible, all over God's word, we have the call that we are to give thanks to God. There are hundreds of passages that I could look at. Look at the passage that we're in today, verse 4, Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. As we enter into God's presence, as we enter into a relationship with God, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We give thanks to him and praise his name. The theme of thankfulness is, as I said, all over the Bible, and it's especially very strong in Paul's letters. Here's Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And a little bit later in Colossians, Paul just says this, be thankful. Be thankful. Christians give thanks. And so it's natural that when we come to our prayers, that our prayers would be prayers of thankfulness, prayers of thanksgiving. But here's the question. Why? Why is it that Christians should always give thanks to God? Maybe sometimes we don't thank God because we don't quite know why we are to give thanks. So it would be worth looking at our psalm here to see some of the reasons why we are to give thanks. So, when we give thanks, firstly, we acknowledge God's lordship everywhere, over everyone, and over everything. Look at our psalm here. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. All of the earth is to shout for joy. Giving thanks is acknowledging that God is Lord over everything, everyone, and everywhere. When we give thanks, that is what we acknowledge. In the first sermon that John gave in this series, we turn to Revelation 4, chapter 9 to 11. It's on the screen here, but it's a little bit small. You might want to turn to it in your Bibles. Revelation 4, 9 to 11. Now listen to this. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before him and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Notice the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks, and then they proclaim, "You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power." So we've got glory, honor, and thanks, and glory, honor, and power, which to me suggests that giving thanks is acknowledging God's glory, God's honor, and God's power. Why? For you created all things. When we give thanks to God, we say, "You are Lord. You are in control. You are sovereign over everything and everyone. You own everything because you created everything." So when we pray, when we give thanks for anything and everyone, anywhere, that is what we are saying. Thank you is also saying, "You are Lord." That's what happens when we give thanks. Now that's very different in our attitude, isn't it? From the begrudging kind of, "Yeah, thanks for that." Or not really recognizing what has been given, and our thankfulness is kind of not filled with joy. When we give thanks, we acknowledge God's lordship everywhere, over everyone, and over everything. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. So, second, when we give thanks, we acknowledge our utter dependence on God. When we give thanks, we acknowledge our utter dependence upon God. Look at our psalm again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Here's the point. When we give thanks, we acknowledge our utter dependence on God, and we recognize that we did not make ourselves. God made us. It is he who made us. Not blind fate. Not a big bang in that sense. Not Allah. Not another God. But the God of the Bible. It is Yahweh, it is the Lord who made us. And we are his. We are his because he made us. We did not make ourselves. And so in giving thanks, we are saying to God, not only are you Lord of the universe, but we are saying we are totally and utterly dependent upon you for our life and our breath and our everything. We did not make ourselves. Just in that little word, thank you, God, we are saying, you own everything, you own me. Nothing is not yours. Even my very being, my body is not mine, it's yours. And we are totally dependent. God could blink us out of existence, and yet he doesn't. He sustains us. So when we give thanks, we acknowledge our utter dependence upon God. We did not make ourselves, but more than that, we did not save ourselves. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Not only do we acknowledge our dependence in creation, we acknowledge our dependence in salvation. We could not save ourselves. We were lost. We were dead. And yet God has made us his people. We are his sheep. And look, he's put us into whose pasture is it? It's his pasture. He's given us all the good things that we need to sustain our lives. It is he who made us, and we are his creation. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, salvation. So when we give thanks to God, we give thanks not only for everything he has given us in creation, including our own lives. We thank you that he has saved us. He has made us his people. He has restored us. He's renewed us. He's brought us back from death. We are his. And he puts us into an amazing, wonderful pasture, and he continues to feed us. That's what we do when we give thanks. So far, we acknowledge that God is Lord. We acknowledge our total dependence upon him. Therefore, giving thanks is not about being polite. In our Western culture, I suppose, historically, and there's lots we could say on this, generally speaking, when you give thanks, you're doing it in response to something that has been done to you, and it kind of equals things up. It's a convention. It's about being polite. That's why when someone gives a child something, and the parent says, say thank you, please say thank you. When they say thank you, there's almost a kind of a completion there, isn't there? Someone has given something and you've given thanks and now you can move on. It's the kind of balancing the scales with our words, or it's paying back a debt in some way. It's about being polite. Now, I've got nothing against being polite. But when we come into God's presence, it's not about being polite, as we've seen. Rather, when we give thanks, it's about praise. Why? Because we haven't got anything to give to God. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our thanks and our praise. In many other ways of viewing the world, and in many religions, it goes a little bit like this. I give the God something, and then the God will give me something back. I've said before, sometimes we take Oak Hill students to Southall in South London, and we go to the Hindu temple, and the businessmen come in during the morning, and they have their bread, and they feed the idol the bread, and they ask for favours for the God throughout the day, that the God would look after them. That's how many religions work. I give something to the God gives me something back. It's a transaction. How do we have a transaction with God who owns everything, who needs nothing? Because the issue is that giving thanks is not about restoring a balance or paying a debt. How can we pay God back anything? God doesn't need paying back in that sense. He has everything he needs. And it can't be about restoring a balance because God has given us everything. So when we give thanks, it's not about being polite, it's about praise. It's not about restoring a balance or paying a debt. Rather, it's a recognition of the total imbalance and that we can't pay God back. And that's what we do when we say thank you. When we say thank you to God, we're admitting that he is God and we are nothing. That we can do nothing. That God has given us everything and our thanks is just merely a response in that way. We can't pay God back. Of course, we can kind of pay forward by serving others. But do you see how that links back to praise? Our thankfulness to God is an act of praise, and in some senses, no more. It's not a polite convention. Do people see that? It's so important. Because in human transactions, there is that kind of balancing, isn't there? You give me something, I'll say thank you, great, we can move on. But how do we do that with God who has given us everything? So when we give thanks, it's not about being polite, it's about praise. Of course, the psalmist understands that. That's why we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise go together. Thanksgiving and glory go together. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Do you see the link here between thanksgiving and praise? The two go together. And remember, we're not just thanking the things that God has given us. We're thanking God for those things. Here's something to recognize, and I'll mention it towards the end. In Paul's letters, Paul never thanks people. He never thanks things. He thanks God for people, and he thanks God for things. Maybe that's something that we need to think about, because God is the only one really who deserves all our thanks. Maybe it's if Aris does something for me, a kind thing. There is a slight difference between saying, Aris, thank you, and Aris, I thank God for you. Because I'm thanking God for giving me Aris. Do you see the difference there? All of our language when it comes to thanking God focuses on God. Very rarely does Paul say thank you to a person, but he thanks God for lots of people. Because it's not about being polite, it's about praise. So those two things go together. Now that's the positive side. What's the negative side? When we don't give thanks. When we don't give thanks. Friends, when we don't give thanks, it's very serious. And I'm not just saying that. The Bible says that very clearly. When we don't give thanks to God, we show our ingratitude, which is the root of sin and idolatry. Again, it's on the screen here. It's a bit small. You might be able to say it. But if you want to turn to, if you've got Bob, you're interested, Romans 1 or Ephesians 5. Let me just read these things out. Very interesting. Romans 1, remember, is where Paul is saying, this is the state of mankind. God has revealed himself. He's revealed himself clearly to people. But what has happened? For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is one of the key verses to explain the root of our rebellion against God. What has gone wrong with the world? And if you said to someone, if I say to you, what's the main thing that's gone wrong with the world? How many of us would say, we didn't give thanks? But that's what Romans 1 says. People know who God is, but they didn't glorify him as God or give thanks to him. in not recognizing God who he is and the gifts that he has given and our dependence upon him, we do not give thanks to him. And so what happens is that our thinking became futile and foolish and our hearts were darkened. What about another verse? Ephesians 5. Listen to this. Again, really interesting, talking about thanksgiving. He's talking to Christians. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, just think about that for a minute. Paul is saying that someone who acts in those ways, show themselves to be an idolater, someone who is worshipping something or someone else apart from God, rather than thanksgiving. Therefore, if one is not thanksgiving, one is being an idolater. That's serious. So when we don't give thanks, we show our ingratitude, which is the root of sin and idolatry. That is why we are to give thanks. Do you see how thanksgiving is at the centre of what it means for the Christian life? Christians are thankful people. When we don't give thanks, we show that we are ungrateful. So, how do we sum up here? What's the application, I suppose? Well, let's go back to our first point, now with a comma. Remember, Christians give thanks. So now I'm telling you all, Christians, give thanks. That's what we are to do. Firstly, we are to give thanks to God alone. To God alone we give thanks. Secondly, we are to give thanks everywhere and for everything. Just think about all the things that you've been given today. And again, that has set things up really nicely, because we are thankful people. There's so many things that we are thankful for. But how many times do we thank God? How many times do we say, "Oh, thank you, Lord"? How many other times do we say to people, "I thank God for you"? Here's one illustration that many people have talked about over the year. Giving thanks for the food that we are given. Now, obviously, as Aris has pointed out, food is a big thing. Maybe you say grace before you eat, maybe you don't. I think there's a really strong reason why we should always give thanks before we eat. I'm not the first one to say this. The great reformer John Calvin spoke about this in his when he's talking about in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 4 to 5. Let me read this out for you. So 1 Timothy is that verse, chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, 4 to 5. For everything God... So let me give the context. Some people are saying that they're forbidding marriage, or that some people are saying when you become a Christian you can't eat certain foods. And Paul says this: for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Let me read that again. This is what Paul says: for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. The food is blessed, I suppose, when we give thanks over it. Now, why is that? Well, for all the reasons that we've said. Here's Calvin again, I'll read it out here. This is what Calvin says on these verses. Listen carefully. It's everything that we've been saying already. To be received with thanksgiving, God created food to be received. That is, that we may enjoy it. This end can never be set aside by human authority. So he's saying, if people say that you can't eat this food, they're wrong. God's in control here. He adds, Calvin says, he adds, with thanksgiving, because we can never render to God any recompense for his kindness, but a testimony of his gratitude. Calvin's saying we can't pay God back, but in giving thanks, we recognize we are grateful people. And then a little bit later on, he says this, hence it ought to be inferred that the use of all the gifts of God is unclean, unless it be accompanied by true knowledge and calling on the name of God, and that it is a beastly way of eating when we sit down at table without any prayer, and when we have eaten to the full, depart in utter forgetfulness of God. Calvin's saying, if we do not say thank you to God for the food that we are eating, then we are animals. We're beasts. It's a beastly way of eating. Because we're eating in a way that says we've forgotten where the food has come from. Let me read those verses again from 1 Timothy. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So, Christians, we give thanks to God alone. We give thanks everywhere and for everything. And then finally, very clear in our psalm this morning, we give thanks with joy and gladness in our hearts. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Are we people who not only give thanks, but are we people who give joyful thanks? Do we shout for joy to the Lord for everything that he has done? Maybe that's a challenge for us to understand why thanksgiving is so important. Thanksgiving acknowledges that God is Lord, that we are dependent upon him. When we don't give thanks, we show our ingratitude. So we are to give thanks to God alone, everywhere and for everything, with joy and gladness in our hearts. Remember how I started? Thankfulness is not just a thing we do. It's the state of mind as a Christian. Wouldn't it be great if all of us were known individually and as a church for being thankful people? That we would look at each other and people would look at us as Christians in our daily life and when we gather together and say, wow, they shout for joy to the Lord. They're thankful. Why? Because they recognize their utter dependence upon God for everything. They recognize that God has given them everything. We can't pay God back. We can pay things forward by serving each other. But God is the one who has given us life and breath and everything. And we praise him by thanking him. We can't give him anything, but we can praise him. Does that make sense? Maybe we can be people like that. Let me just read the psalm one more time. We'll have a few moments of quiet and then we'll sing our final song. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, it is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Lord, you do not need anything. You do not need our praise. We cannot give back anything that you have given us. You have given us everything, life and breath and salvation. We are your sheep. and you put us into your pasture. But Lord, we know that when we do thank you, we are praising your name, praising you for who you are, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We're recognizing your power and your awesomeness. We're recognizing your love. We're recognizing our total and utter dependence upon you for everything. We're thanking you for everything that you have given us. All the amazing gifts that we've thought about earlier in our service. Lord, forgive us when we are ungrateful, when we show ingratitude. Lord, we see that in forgetting you, we are not praising your name. We are praising something or someone else. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would be thankful people. We would be joyful and thankful people. Lord, by your Spirit, give us that joy within our hearts. May we be a thankful people here as individuals, as a church. May thankfulness be something that we are recognized for. And we pray all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, who was that ultimate gift given to us, for which we are so thankful. Amen.